B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
E3 2019, it is finally here.
It's the best week in gaming.
And we've got all the hot announcements. My name's Nate Bender. Welcome into Checkpoint XP. I want to thank everyone joining us on ESPN Central Texas, KZRI, and KTLN in Waco, Texas, as well as ESPN 97.5 in Houston and the Horn, 104.9 in Austin, Texas. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP, we'll break down absolutely every single E3 show. Showcase, including showcases that happen right before E3. Plus, when Checkpoint XP goes out to something like E3, we don't just get access to the best minds in gaming. No, we've also gotten in a visit at the LCS Arena. Robbie and Norris got to sit down with Chris Greeley and Doublelift. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP.
Oh my God, it is killing me that I didn't get to go to that.
Because they sent out the right people. Don't be mad because you bad.
But we start today with Microsoft's Xbox E3 showcase. I know that may sound a little bit weird, but without Sony, we got to start somewhere. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew here with me in Detroit, Joe Sloan.
Check a look.
And out in California at E3, those lucky sons of guns, Norris Howard.
You already know who it is.
And Robbie Landis.
Always moving those payloads.
All right. Well, let's start here with the Microsoft Xbox E3 showcase, because this was one of the best showcases I've seen out of Microsoft.
Yeah.
In probably 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, the last time, every time we see a Microsoft showcase, we always kind of walk away from it being like, all right, you guys tried way too hard and delivered way too little. This year, as much as maybe you almost want to, you know, go hard on them. No, I thought Microsoft did a great job this year. I thought their showcase was a lot of fun, a lot of good information.
I was honestly impressed.
Yeah, especially with the stuff they've emphasized on Game Pass. You know, we really thought that Game Pass was going to be a big part of this show, and it did end up a big part of the show. And coming out with a console pass of $9.99 and an ultimate pass of about $15 to get both PC and console and Xbox Live Gold. I mean, that is very, very competitive.
Oh, absolutely.
Moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. And we saw a heavy emphasis on this throughout the entire show. The more platforms it's available on, it's coming to literally everything that has a screen.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which I think is a really impressive strategy for Microsoft. I think they're going to win a lot of customers this way.
Yeah, I think they're going to have an easy time getting people to buy in on this. I mean, 100 games on their PC library, 100 more on your Xbox library. You got your Xbox Live Gold included with it. I don't really see any reason not to buy in. To that, I mean, if you're a fan of anything that's on Xbox, you pretty much have to at this point.
Well, I mean, and there's some stuff too that if you're not a fan of Xbox itself, you now start to get access to. You know, the first Gears game is now going to be coming to Windows, so I'm down for the Game Pass at this point.
Now, I want to talk about the games because they revealed over 60 games at their showcase, which in and of itself is mighty impressive. And the fact that it didn't drag, that was also really impressive. But Xbox Studios expanding was a big point last year. They added something like 11 different studios.
Yep.
This year, they only added one, but a pretty big one. Tim Schafer's Double Fine Studios is now a part of Xbox Studios, and I think that is phenomenal. I've loved this guy's games for a long time. We got a nice look at Psychonauts 2, and I think that this is a very welcome addition. They're building a very impressive cadre of developers over there.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the important thing is, you know, last year we saw them adding on all these new developers, and this year we started seeing some of the games that come from adding all those new developers. I mean, some of the games that we got to take a look at, Nate, I know you were kind of torn on things like the Blair Witch. I'm sitting here watching. I'm like, is this Outlast 3? I haven't seen a Red Barrels logo anywhere. What is this?
I was very curious what it was going to be. I thought maybe it was another Evil Within. And then I was like, no, we're not at Bethesda yet. It had like elements of Resident Evil and a little bit of PT. I mean, PT for a game that never even came out was so revolutionary to, you know, the survival horror genre. There's a lot of that intact here. And the fact that it's connected to the Blair Witch, franchise might be, 10 years a little bit too late.
No,
but I think
it's
very thematically appropriate.
You guys are not talking about the right game here, okay?
What was it for you?
There is one announcement that completely dwarfed all the other announcements. Is we got the cinematic trailer for Cyberpunk 2077.
It was, yeah, and this was the big one.
And guys, the Baba Yaga himself is in the game.
Keanu Reeves, he came out and, boy, had a wonderfully warm reception. That audience was really loving Keanu.
Yeah.
We had super producer Christine here with us at the Microsoft keynote, and literally I didn't know that Kuki had a 13-inch vertical, because the way she hopped up out of her seat when Keanu Reeves came on stage, I literally thought, like, Kuki's going to the league, man. It's over.
To be fair, a lot of people reacted that way.
Oh, yeah. I have to imagine. But another case of a huge star getting attached to a gaming project. Yeah. Maybe when you guys come back, this will be a bigger point of discussion, because I really want to actually get into this because it's a way bigger trend. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on KNBR 1050 in San Francisco and the Big 920 in Milwaukee. Don't worry, Xbox stands, Microsoft stands, we're gonna get to the big console announcement here in just a little bit. But while we're talking about software, I gotta say, they led the night off with a brand new trailer from The Outer Worlds, which is coming out from Obsidian, the original developers of the Fallout franchise, and I can't tell you how excited I am for this.
This game looks like it's gonna be a ton of fun. Again, kind of the moral choice system. I'm always a fan of games that do that well. I'm pretty geeked for The Outer Worlds.
Yeah.
Not even just the whole Fallout vibe. Like, what I got from it was a little bit of Fallout, a little bit of BioShock. Like, there's a little bit of Borderlands in there. Like, all the games you love with that sort of like aesthetic and that design. It's like they're taking a little bit of inspiration from all of them.
I'm being honest. I don't. This doesn't move the needle for me. The Outer Worlds.
Really?
Not move the needle for me.
Go play a fighting game.
Listen, I'm sorry. Some other highlights from the show. We got to move on because we've only got about like 3 minutes here. Phantasy Star Online 2 finally coming to the West on the Xbox. That's going to be huge. Elden Ring from Software and George R.R. Martin teaming up. Totally amazing. Being published by Bandai Namco.
That game's not going to make any sense.
And I probably not.
It looks epic though.
And then listen, we finally get to Project Scarlet, the new piece of hardware from Microsoft, the new console. I'm not sure if this is going to be renamed or if it's the Xbox Project Scarlet or what, but this is a box that is 4 times more powerful than the current Xbox One X.
And we're seeing it mimic a lot of the things that we're hearing about as rumors for the PlayStation 5 moving to the solid state hard drive. It does look like the big focus of the next generation of gaming, in addition to streaming, is going to be the elimination of load screens. That basically they want the games to be functioning at all times, fully loaded.
I hate to be the one to poo-poo the Scarlet here, but you mention it being 4 times more powerful than the Xbox One. I bet it'll also probably sell 4 times as less than what the Xbox One did.
Listen, there's some impressive stuff that they're talking about here. Frame rates over 100. I'm not sure what that matters when displays aren't able to display over that kind of frame rates. Using the SSD as virtual RAM, I thought that was pretty impressive.
That's pretty nifty.
That is pretty cool. That's due out holiday 2020, and launching with it is going to be a brand new Halo game called Halo Infinite.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited for a new Halo game. It's been a while since we've gotten one, even though, I mean, the last few Halo games have been just kind of whatever. This one looked pretty decent, at least from our opening cinematic. It looks like everyone's living on a Halo ring at this point. That's kind of interesting. I don't know. I'm excited. It's a good title to have in your launch library. If you're going to have a new system launch, putting a Halo title in your launch library is a good call.
It's probably
better
smart.
Rename it from Project Scarlet.
Yeah, I hope so. But you know, whatever name that they're going to give the console is going to be just as goofy.
Now, we need to hit on one thing that we miss is Dragon Ball Project Z. I need this action RPG in my life. This thing looked awesome.
I don't know what it is.
It looked awesome, but at the same time, it still looked like it was using the old Budokai fighting system, which is not my favorite in the world. So I don't know. I kind of felt underwhelmed or a little disappointed by that trailer. But hopefully, you know, there's maybe some hands-on that we could check out. And I hope it's better than what I saw.
Well, Norris, if graphics are important to you, I have a game for you then. How about the Microsoft Flight Simulator?
Oh,
I think
man.
You could check that out, right?
That was beyond impressive.
I actually want to play this bad.
Listen, there were so many other things that we could talk about. The new Age of Empires 2, the definitive edition. You can enjoy all those sprites in 4K. Wasteland 3, Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga, 12 minutes, Way in the Woods, a beautiful indie game where you play as a deer. Heck, we didn't even have time to talk about Gears of War 5. I mean, there's just so much. 60 different games being talked about here. We didn't even have time for Ninja Theory's new game, Bleeding Edge, a game that we've been hearing about a lot of, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, or even the new Minecraft Dungeons. There's just so much, and I encourage all of you to go check out the Microsoft Xbox Showcase at E3. It was nothing short of impressive. But listen, that's all the time that we have for this discussion, but we want to hear from you. Are you a Microsoft fanboy? Are you a super Microsoft stan? What was the announcement that stood out to you the most out at E3 2019? We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP. Listen, we're talking everything E3, including announcements that weren't even at E3.
Yeah, I guess Google Stadia was technically before that.
It was before. Google Stadia Direct. We'll talk about that coming up in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP's E3 special. But ahead next, we're going to keep talking about the games because we're going to break down the Bethesda Showcase and EA Play. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. It's our E3 special. Thanks for being along. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. It's not just E3 today, because coming up later on in the show, we've got access to some impressive members of the LCS, including Chris Greeley, the league commissioner, as well as Doublelift. That's going to be coming up a little bit later on here on Checkpoint XP. But being our E3 special, we've got boots on the ground, Norris and Robbie out in LA, reporting back to us about everything that's going on at E3. So we've got to talk about EA. EA had opened up the E3 officially. I mean, every year,
EA Play.
I don't know why I called it the E3, but they do this every year. They usually have the very first showcase. Mm-hmm. It's called EA Play. Happens on the very first day or a day before everything else, depending on your definitions of it. But we got some information about what to expect out of EA in the near future. This was pretty much exactly boilerplate what I expected out of EA.
Yeah, you could basically have gone into it and guessed what will they probably show, and you'd be exactly right almost no matter what you said.
Absolutely. So starting off, we heard a little bit more about Jedi Fallen Order. This is the new Star Wars game that's being developed by Respawn. Yeah, Respawn, the makers of Apex Legends. And we got a lot. Actually, we got to see quite a bit of it. Quite
almost
a bit 14 of
minutes of gameplay.
Yeah. And it's a lot farther along in its development than I thought it was.
Well, it better be. It's coming out this fall. It is. Yeah. So we got Assassin's Creed style, like, you know, free running parkour. You can use the Force to grab vines and swing across things.
It's very reminiscent of the Force Unleashed style combat, except it's now got, you know, like you said, Assassin's Creed style, like parkour elements in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot like that I saw that isn't new to the industry. Like this looks like it's going to be a very safe game for EA. That's not necessarily a bad thing. They could definitely use a win. I'll be picking it up.
I think safe is actually kind of the word I want to hear for a Star Wars title about now.
Yeah.
I could use a safe Star Wars game that I buy and I'm not mad that I bought it shortly after. That's what I need.
So, the lightsaber combat looks really satisfying. I mean, you even get to use some of the same moves in Force Unleashed, like the kind of boomerang with the lightsaber.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. I mean, it'll be nice to kind of revisit that. Because Force Unleashed wasn't a terrible game. And here's the big one, is that this story, just like Battlefront 2, is going to have a canon story attached to it.
Yeah, I mean, we all got really excited about that for Battlefront, and then it kind of ended up being disappointing, I don't know how to feel.
Yeah, fool me once.
Exactly.
That's true, though. The one thing I do like is seeing a young Saw Gerrera.
That's
really
pretty
cool.
Yeah. And I mean, it connects you in a way that's a little bit more meaningful, because, I mean, not just, the movies, but he was in a lot of the series as well. We also got caught up on Apex Legends, what to expect for their next season pass.
Far too late, though.
It feels like too little too late.
Is nothing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, they said nothing about that. They said nothing about esports for Apex Legends.
Yep.
But again, you guys know me and my history with EA Play. Y'all just talk. Y'all just go before I go off. Just go.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, Apex Legends did finally get, they do have a ranked mode coming that's going to be skill-based. That's great for those that still play it, but I think that they've lost so much momentum as is that there's not a whole lot that they could do to even regain a fraction of it.
Yeah, they announced a new hero. I mean, if you're really into Apex, you can go find that information, but I think that's the big takeaway, is that it's a little bit too little too late. We also heard about a bunch of maps for Battlefield 5, if that's your
thing. Who cares?
Yeah, no. FIFA 20, I do, Norris, I have a specific question about this for you. Street Ball is a big thing that they're adding in with FIFA 20. They made a big deal about this during the presentation. Does this move the needle for you at all? I mean, I know that you play soccer in life, so I'm just kind of curious if this is even an attractive mode for you.
It is. It's awesome. And it's something that the community's been asking about for many, many years now. And, you know, they finally, you know, took the plunge to do it. There's supposed to be a lot of customization. It's supposed to be a massive single player mode. So that's supposed to satisfy that a little bit. But there's still a lot in FIFA that they have not addressed and they have refused to address.
Yeah, I heard nothing about FIFA Ultimate Team or, you know, really any changes to that. So, didn't really hear anything there. Madden NFL 20, some new improvements over there. Football players have super moves now. That's kind of cool. And then The Sims 4 is going tropical. They've got a whole new DLC injection. Overall, I don't know. I kind of gave this a C-. It didn't move the needle.
It was okay.
It wasn't great. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports 1350 AM in Riverside, San Bernardino, as well as the mighty 1090 in San Diego. Let's turn our attention over to Bethesda, who I thought actually of the developers had probably the strongest conference, even though I saw a lot of people clowning them online on social media afterwards.
You know,
they still seem to be reaping the whirlwind from the whole Fallout 76 fiasco. But I agree with you. I actually give Bethesda so far, I think that they I'm just going to say, I think that they won E3. I was expecting a more relaxed conference from them.
Yeah.
They delivered on a ton of impressive games, and something that I didn't think we'd get out of them is they're actually working on tech that could benefit the entire industry.
Yeah.
That's killed it.
I think that that's really interesting. So they started their showcase off talking about Blades, a new solo. This is their mobile game, by the way, their Elder Scrolls mobile game, which I play a little bit when I'm bored. It's not great. It's not terrible.
It didn't
either.
Do much for me.
Solo battle arenas are coming. New custom jewelry system. New Dragon Quest line. All of that stuff is available right now. And then in fall 2019, it's coming to the Switch. That's pretty cool. Fallout 76. I know we don't want to spend too long on this. The first thing we got to talk about is Nuclear Winter, because that is available to play right now. It's a brand new game mode. 52-player battle royale that occurs across the entire map. Vault 51 features heavily in it. It's basically a quest to see who can become the overseer. And there's a lot of we've been hearing about its development kind of on the sly for a little bit. And this actually sounds really fun. And I saw a lot of people. I got a lot of people's attention who were not into Fallout 76 before this.
So. I've seen a lot of people firing it up to at least give it a try. So yeah, that's a win for them.
And there's a free trial period too. Mm-hmm. So if you've been curious about Fallout 76, now is a really good time to get in. Also, we heard a little bit more about Wastelanders, the next set of DLC that's going to be coming to Fallout 76. There's going to be NPCs, guys. It's happening.
Finally.
All the people who were crying about NPCs and dialogue trees, they can stop.
There you go.
And finally play the game.
And I legitimately feel like this makes the world feel like it's evolving. There's going to be new types of power armor, new main quest. There's going to be choices and consequences. It's coming out this fall, and I am so excited. This is way more than I was expecting with Wastelanders, and I cannot wait for it.
And I think the game for me that was definitely sort of taking me by surprise was Ghostwire Tokyo. It's from the makers of The Evil Within, and it looks sort of like action survival horror, but it looks just so damn scary.
Yeah, this looked cool.
In the Japanese horror kind of way. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. It borrows elements from, again, a lot of other survival horror games. What is Fatal Frame? That's the one that I thought of when I first saw it.
Definitely looked like Fatal Frame. You're right.
And it's cool. That's fine. I think that's going to be a cool mechanic. We also got some info for Elder Scrolls Online. Dragonhold, a fourth quarter DLC, is going to be coming out. Marks the return of one of the characters from the main series of quests, Aes Sahan. That's really exciting. There's also going to be a Scalebreaker DLC out in August. This is all in support of their brand new Elsewhere expansion, where you get to play in Elsewhere for the very first time in the Elder Scrolls series, and it marks Dragons. They are now in Elder Scrolls Online. I think that's a pretty cool thing. We also got a look at a brand new mobile title. It's not brand new. Commander Keen has been around forever. This was one of the very first id games that was ever made, but it's coming back now to iOS and Android. It looked cute.
Yeah, but we got to talk about Orion here for a second, because I know we're running out of time.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point.
So, streaming technology, it's a new technology they're doing that's going to help optimize games that are being done for cloud environments. They'll stream game content 20% faster per frame and lower bandwidth requirements by 40%. This is a brilliant idea, but the key about this is who's adopting it, because if this isn't massively adopted, it does not matter.
That's the biggest thing about it is that it has to be adopted. But if it is, I think this is just as revolutionary as Unreal Engine was for Epic. As this could be for Bethesda. If it's widely adopted, this could be completely game changing as the industry moves towards streaming.
Oh, totally, totally, absolutely. It is all about who ends up adopting it, and it's a real consumer saver in the end. Also, we heard more info about Doom Eternal.
Oh,
brand new title called Deathloop. Two new Wolfenstein games.
I can't wait to play that.
A VR game called Cyberpilot. another one we've been hearing about for a little while, Youngblood. That is hugely exciting. And new DLC coming to Rage 2. So that's where we're going to have to leave it because we are out of time. We want to hear from you. What was your favorite showcase from E3? Was it Bethesda? Because I think it was. And I'm always right. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we'll check out the PC gaming showcase and what Ubisoft had to announce out at E3 2019.
The other end of the spectrum.
Yes. you're not, dude, you are not kidding. But ahead next, we got to talk about what was making all the headlines just ahead of E3. We're going to talk about Google Stadia Direct. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's our E3 2019 special. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you locked in with us. I want to thank everyone listening on News Talk 820 AM, WWBA, Sports Talk 1080 The Team in Orlando, and News Talk 1060 WIXE in Melbourne, Florida. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP Daily Podcast from B-Pod Studios. Get all the same discussions and interviews featured on this very radio show as a daily podcast. Subscribe at our website, checkpointxp.com, or at bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Just before E3 got kicked off, Google wanted to try to really make an impression, setting their Google Stadia Direct just one day before the festivities were set to take place.
Yeah, they wanted to steal the show a little bit.
And I think they did.
They kind of did, yeah.
Well,
I was pretty impressed.
Not only did they try to show everyone up, they did that a little bit, but they set the stage really for a lot of the big announcements that were out at E3 2019, and I think that that's really cool.
Yeah, so talking a little bit about what we know for Stadia, the pricing is the first point that we got some clues on. We now know that their Stadia Pro is going to be $9.99 a month. It's going to have a select free game, so this is going to kind of look like what you get when you do like your Amazon Prime, where you'll
PlayStation Plus.
Or PlayStation Plus. You'll have a library of games that you're going to get for your subscription, and then you'll be able to buy other games at a discount.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which isn't quite what people were saying when they were speculating maybe a Netflix type service.
True.
But it's not bad.
And what publisher is going to sign up for that essentially right now when you can get $60 a pop per game? I mean, that kind of just doesn't seem cool unless it's a first party publisher type of deal, not with a third party.
We also got the Founders Edition, which will come with a Chromecast Ultra, a limited edition controller, 3 months of Stadia Pro, a buddy pass for someone else to get 3 months, and that's going to run you $129. And I mean, first of all,
that value that pays for itself.
Yeah, a Chromecast Ultra is $70 by itself. I'm not going to lie, guys. I bought it.
Did you really?
I did. I bought in.
Wow. Okay, so you got in on the Founders deal. Did you already get to pick your name, or is that still forthcoming?
No, so basically, they'll send you an email code to go ahead and
see, that was kind of my big, like, that was the feature that I was like, I kind of want to get in because of that.
See, I wanted to get in because of that, too, but I didn't want to admit to it.
Dibs on the buddy pass.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure it'll go to you and not Sarah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because priorities, co-host, not girlfriend, right?
So some of the requirements, we now know that for the top of the line, if you want to stream in 4K, you want to get the HDR video 50 FPS, you're going to need to have at least 35 Mbps download speed, 1 megabyte per second upload speed.
That's impressive, especially the uptime. And I mean, really, all you're sending back is your controller data.
Yeah, that's true.
Which, actually, that's another point, is that the Stadia controller, like the bespoke controller that comes with the system, that connects directly to the internet. It doesn't connect like through the Chromecast.
Right. And that's, I mean, that controller is interesting. It's pretty safe. I would say that's maybe the least offensive controller that has ever been made ever.
That's the most bland controller I've ever had. If that controller was a flavor, it would be vanilla.
Yes, exactly.
If it was, if it was a type of food, it would be plain gruel.
Yeah.
Oatmeal.
Yeah, oatmeal. Yes. Exactly. Kind of boring, but I mean, at least it's not a disaster. We also got some of the games that we're going to get to check out on Stadia, including Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, that is so exciting.
That's pretty awesome. Ghost Recon Breakpoint's going to be on there. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, MK11, Tomb Raider, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, Elder Scrolls Online. A lot of games got announced for this thing. I mean,
the lineup is impressive. I also see some very bloated games in terms of like hardware, like hard drive size. So just like Elder Scrolls Online alone, that will save me 100 gigs on my hard drive. I'm in.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed is pretty hefty. I think that's a 60 gig game by itself.
Like I'm totally in just because of that alone. But here's one of the things that I'm a little bit concerned about, because while the speed requirements seem like they're in pretty good shape,
they're manageable,
a lot of ISPs have been introducing data caps within the last 4 or 5 years as streaming services kind of grow in popularity.
Right.
So, I have a concern that this is going to, in a very quick way, start racking up bandwidth. Because, I mean, we've seen, Netflix and Hulu and all of these other services, they definitely can eat up bandwidth very quickly.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, even if you're talking only 35 Mbps, that's, I mean, in 60, 65 hours, you're going to blow through a terabyte of data.
Wow.
And most people have about a terabyte data cap on their bandwidth.
Yeah.
It's definitely a problem. And I don't know what the solution is, because here's the almost sinister underbelly of it, is people aren't going to get angry at Comcast for having that data cap. They're going to say, hey, can I pay to not have that data cap?
Right. And I mean, that is a really obvious funnel filter system into higher tiers of internet plans.
This is what we were worried about with net neutrality, man.
This is exactly what we were worried about. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone actually joining us live over on Twitch, twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Join us Monday through Friday for Checkpoint XP Daily. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff on the channel. Again, go and follow. Subscribe if you want, checkpointxp.com and twitch.tv/checkpointxp. One of my other major concerns here, because bandwidth is a big one, but I also think, like, we are really getting close. This is just another service, a subscription service. Like, I am getting so close to subscription burn.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
I'm already like there.
I'm already there every month. Every month, almost $150 in just subscriptions to different stuff, whether it's Amazon, Hulu, Netflix. It's getting hoovered out of my bank account, yeah. And I'm really starting to feel it.
Now, to be fair, you can play Stadia without a subscription. You actually can do the Stadia base. I don't think it drops until 2020, but that is a non-subscription version of Stadia where you just buy your games as you go, and at that point you're just doing Steam effectively.
Yeah, so at that point it's just a different marketplace, like Steam or Epic or PlayStation.
Except it doesn't take up your hard drive space.
Yeah, see, that's a big selling point right there to me, man. Yeah,
especially with what, the 7 games that are dropping in November alone.
Yeah, I mean, you've got things dropping like Death Stranding and whatnot, and Pokemon Sword and Shield. There's so much that's getting ready to drop, but I never thought we'd get back to the point where we've cycled all the way back around to hard drive space being a concern again. We remember when terabyte hard drive started coming out and we were all like, great, I don't ever have to worry about hard drive space again. And then you start getting like Red Dead coming out with its 130 gigs and you're like, oh god, I actually have to worry about hard drive space again.
And not to circle back around to this point, but again, on data caps, like, if you're responsible for downloading all of that, you're going to have to pay through the data cap one way or the other. What's going to be better? Is it going to be better to stream it as you play it, or is it going to be better to download it all up front so you can keep it on your hard drive?
So I guess that's the question. Is the not having to have hard drive space, and is this launch library, is this enough for you to buy in and give Stadia a try?
It definitely is for me. I think I'm going to be trying it when I when it launches. We know what the answer is for you, Norris. Real quick,
yeah, I'm in, man.
Robbie,
I
want
to be doing
you?
The Founders Pack, but when it gets closer to the official launch, yeah, probably.
All right. Well, listen, we got to leave it right there, but we want to hear from you. Is this enough to sell you on Google Stadia? Did you buy into the Founders Pack? What's your name going to be? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we'll talk about Nintendo and Square Enix's press conferences. That's the Japan section of the show.
It's the last two conferences that we get, and it's going to bring up the end of those discussions.
That's right. But ahead next on Checkpoint XP, we've got to talk about two of the showcases that, boy.
Do we have to talk about them?
They did not move the needle for me at all. PC Gaming Showcase and Ubisoft is ahead next here on Checkpoint XP's E3 special.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
And welcome back to Checkpoint XP's E3 2019 special. My name's Nate Bender. I'm glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR, 560 AM and 95.9 FM, and 103.9 in Lexington, Kentucky. Make sure you're following us on our officially partner Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one but two cat emotes. Tolly and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. And catch us live. That's at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. There's a lot of fun and games out at E3 2019, and then there's the PC Gaming Showcase. If I'm being generous, a flaming fire worth of bad.
It was boring.
It was so boring.
I would have taken just boring.
Being there
wasn't much better. Like, down in the front row, I had a great seat, and then the presenters are standing in front of you the whole time, and even though they have two screens on the left and right, they're only utilizing the one behind them.
So if we can, let's all think of a game that we want to talk about for a moment here.
Yeah, like, as far as the announcement went, like, I'm not even picking a game that I'm looking forward to. I'm picking a game that they ruined for me. If you remember last year, Nate, Grifflands had, like, this really cool, really unique art style that we were really looking forward to, and it turns out it's changed a lot in the past year and is now a turn-based card roguelike game.
Stop it.
Yeah, like, that's what,
like,
it looks like, right?
You choose dialogue options based on cards.
Stop it.
I don't want to hear roguelike ever again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty tired.
It is. It's just getting very eye-rolly. Mutant Year Zero, a game that you really like, Robbie.
I just got into this. I tried it out last year at E3. Was great. Recently picked it up. Been playing through it on stream. Really cool. This is basically their first DLC, which is going to introduce a new character and new story. I am looking forward to that.
That's a Seed of Evil, right?
Yes.
Okay. One I actually liked, I thought Midnight Ghost Hunt actually looked kind of interesting. Basically, it's
in on Prop Hunt, right?
It's based off of Prop Hunt, but with the idea that the props can fight back. Four guys go into a house hunting down a bunch of ghosts. They have to figure out what the ghosts are inhabiting and destroy them. If they make it to midnight, the ghosts turn the tables and become the hunters. I think it's actually a pretty cool concept. I'd like to play it.
Listen, Prop Hunt can be fun sometimes.
Yeah, it's a stupid game to play with your friends.
Absolutely.
And
that's kind of what
games.
This looks like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Real quick, they did talk about Baldur's Gate 3. We didn't get a whole huge look at it. We've just mostly gotten that cinematic. They did say it's kind of like the crown jewel of D&D campaigns. You start outside of the city and encounter mind flayers. Listen, I'm so excited for this game. The return of Baldur's Gate is going to be a welcome addition to my PC library.
Well, and I like that they're basing this one off of D&D 5th edition, which makes sense because that's the current edition. But, I mean, obviously obviously the old Baldur's Gate were based off of the older D&D modules. To see one be brought up to 5th edition, I'm curious to see how that'll change the way the game plays, and also that likely means that at some point from Wizards, we might get a return to Baldur's Gate campaign in actual D&D.
Oh, that would be cool.
Which, that would be really cool if we got that.
Well, for me, the only thing that was dope was Shenmue, honestly. It's not gameplay, but just to know that there's a date on it, I mean, thank God.
How was it not gameplay? How are we this close to release? It's November 19th, it's release day.
Am I crazy, or did those facial animations still look real rough?
They still looked
rough. Oh, of course they still look real rough. I don't expect anything graphically from this game. Okay. I'm going to be honest.
All right, that's fair.
But, and I mean, it looks way better than it did originally. I'll give them that. But yeah, it still looked pretty rough.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. We're currently going through all of the E3 showcases, and it's time now to turn our attention over to Ubisoft, which... if you hear the exasperation in my voice, it's because it started off with another highfalutin, high art, ugh.
At least
show.
It wasn't Cirque du Soleil this time.
Here's what I will give it, is that the touring show that they started off by plugging for Assassin's Creed music is something I would go see.
The Assassin's Creed Symphony?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would go see that. I love
really cool.
I love Distant Worlds. I love video games live. When they've done this in the past, it's been very, very welcome. So, I'm excited about that.
We got to talk about Watch Dogs.
All the other
please.
Stuff is pretty goofy. Yeah, Watch Dogs was kind of decent.
I mean, Watch Dogs, I've not been a big fan of the Watch Dogs series, but this one, it's set in London. You scan potential recruits trying to find the abilities that you need for your group. You're trying to get more and more people into your resistance effectively.
You can.
I like
it's
that idea. Like
Pokemon, I can't wait.
Well, building your own team, I think that's always one of the cooler aspects of games like this.
I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but to me, it seemed like when your character gets to low HP, you get the option to either surrender or try and fight or resist. Basically, and I'm guessing if you surrender, you can probably be like broken out of jail later. But if you resist and you die,
that character is gone.
Yeah, I think so. And I like they really went to great lengths to show that you can literally play as anyone. There was this whole 4-minute section with this little granny doing a heist.
She was
which
great.
Was hilarious. And I love that idea. Like, I'm all for that. I think that is a really cool concept, and I actually do plan on checking this out.
Yeah,
I do too, man. I was very impressed by it.
Yeah, so we also got Rob McElhenney from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, who has announced that he is working on a new TV show.
A new Netflix show.
Or yes. I think it's Apple TV and Netflix is what I think.
I think that's what they said, heard. Yeah.
So it's called Mythic Quest, and it's going to be focused around a head developer of an MMO, the biggest MMO in the world, getting ready to launch its first expansion.
Found out that Ashley Birch has actually helped write some episodes and is in it as well.
Nice.
Oh, nice. I'm so in.
I'm sorry. Wait, what part of Rob from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia were you not in for?
That's fair.
It's about an MMO developer.
They
come
also
on.
Have people from the gaming industry that are also in on it too. It helps reinforce. This is probably going to be hilarious.
Listen, Rob, if you can hear me and you need to cast.
I can hear you.
Not you, the better Rob. The better one. If you need to cast a surly radio show that talks about video games, I think that I know four people that could really, really help you. Two,
we have great antagonists.
Oh, right? But if you don't need all four, I have recommendations for two as well. Anyway, we also found out about the next Ghost Recon game, Breakpoint.
John Bernthal was on stage to tell us a bit about it.
I partied with him.
You did party with him.
I partied with him. I bought him drinks.
Do you think he would buy you a drink if he saw you?
I don't know, man. We were pretty wasted.
The answer is no.
Probably not. Yeah.
Okay. No. We also heard about Ubisoft's subscription service Uplay Plus, early access to new games, 100 plus games in their library, $14.99 a month, and that's launching in September and will be available on Stadia.
Again, I'm not totally sure how this works, but my concern about subscriber burn is two subscriptions that you would have to pay just to get in.
But if you're doing Stadia Base and you're not doing the Stadia Pro,
okay, that's true.
And you buy the Ubisoft subscription for $14.99 a month, does that mean all Ubisoft games available on Stadia?
A lot of those titles were listed.
They did say that new releases will be available for that price. Yeah, so essentially, this is the Netflix of video games.
Well, at least for Ubisoft. I mean, if everything's Ubisoft included, games, including new releases, you're no longer, you know, paying $60 for an Ubisoft game. You're putting down $14.99 for the month, blowing through the game, and then canceling your sub.
We also heard about Elite Squad, For Honor, Rainbow Six Quarantine, The Division 2, Roller Champions, a new IP that looks really heavily based off of Roller Derby.
Was that Joey Styles in there?
I don't know. It sounded like him, but there was a little bit of like Rocket League in there as well. A little bit of Rocket League influence. And then also a new IP called Gods and Monsters, which looks really interesting. But it's from the creators of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, so that's pretty cool. Anyway, that's all the time that we have for Ubisoft. So what was your favorite announcement between PC Gaming Showcase and Ubisoft? I know it's going to be from the Ubisoft category. I just know that in my heart. We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. Coming up in the next hour of Checkpoint XP, Robbie and Norris got to go out to the LCS studios and talk with Chris Greeley and Double Lift. That's ahead in the next hour here on Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, we're going to sit down and check out the Nintendo and Square Enix conferences. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.